apologies that aren't previously recorded.
Sorry, who's that?
Right, members. I think you'll all agree we were all shocked and saddened by the untimely death of former councillor Geraldine Donnelly. Geraldine was a long-serving councillor who retired from council in 2016. She served her constituents diligently and professionally during her time on council. She was deputy mayor at the time I was mayor in 2012. And I always found her a very pleasant individual. She was not overtly political in the chamber, but she was quietly confident of her position as an SDLP councillor. So I think it's prudent under the circumstances, and I'd ask members to be mindful for the rest of the meeting, be conscious of how we're starting the meeting. So I think we'll, if you don't mind, we'll have a minute's quiet reflection. You can either sit or stand, whatever you think. So I'm going to stand anyway, just in memory of former councillor Geraldine. Thank you very much, Councillor, for that. I'll open it up to the floor, please, if you don't mind, for some comment. Kate?
Yeah, thanks, sir. And thanks very much for your words and observing the minute silence. I suppose, like everybody else in the chamber, we as a party and as individuals were utterly stunned by the news that came through on Saturday evening and devastated that our dear colleague, Geraldine, passed away while on holidays. Suppose as councillors, we all have a thread running through us that connects us. We all experience the huge sense of responsibility that comes with this role. But more importantly, we all have a deep desire to improve the lives of those we represent and to build a better community. I know that was Geraldine's sole focus in political life. She steadfastly championed the SDLP principles that she held so dear inside Armagh. And that was through difficult times. Her principles and integrity never wavered. She supported everybody in the community, no matter who you talked to. And over the last couple of years, anyone you talk to has really good words to say about her. I think the one word that's consistent is lady. She's an absolute lady. She supported people in the most difficult of times, Bridge and Stephen Quinn. She was steadfastly principled woman. For her, she seen the peaceful route, and she always championed that. And she always said it to me at every opportunity. With Stephen and Bridge Quinn, she stood with them from the moment she heard the news when she got to the hospital. And she has stood with them for the last 10 or 11 years. And speaking to Bridge over the last couple of days, she, like the rest of us, is absolutely devastated to lose such a strong friend. Her community was better than that, and her Ireland was better than that. To me, she was a complete pillar of strength, and as I said over the last couple of days, a beacon of integrity. Personally, she was my mentor. She was a moral compass to go to when you needed to bring it back to what's important. And she always said, and I think I said this to officers even a week ago, she always said, you know, don't run away with yourself. Think about what you get in there for. It's all about the people. We sat down in Manchester last year or the year before. She said, we'll go for breakfast. And we sat down at 10 a.m. and we got up at close to 2 o'clock. And we talked about family. And she says, how not to leave. Your husband sitting in the house in long evenings when you're going to meetings. if that's what's important, and she's seen in her retirement the time that she was going to get to spend with her family and all her grandchildren, you could see it was evident in her face that that's what she enjoyed the most, and it's so heartbreaking and saddening that she doesn't get to continue that. So she, at every opportunity, she would sit down and say, ground yourself. Why did you become a cancer? And never lose that. And never lose it's for the people. And I really respect her for that. I'm totally honoured to have her complete support when asked to replace her. And consistently throughout the time in council. It's hard to believe going through all the messages, you're never going to get that pat on the back and that support again. Finally, she was a family woman. She never stopped talking about her family. She's absolutely in love with her family. And my heart is out to Sean, her daughter Sandra and Karen, her son Neil, and all her grandchildren, who any time you met her, even if you went into the Casey's there in Cross and Glen, you know, she'd be jumping from one table with somebody else, and she would always say, if you time for a coffee or a tea, doesn't matter if you had time, you're sitting down, and she was going to tell you about her kids and her family. And I think I got great warmth from that, knowing that she was comfortable in her retirement with her kids, and that's why this is all the more hurting. So my thoughts are with them over the coming days, and I have no doubt that when the arrangements for Geraldine's remains to come back are made, I've no doubt that the shoulders of the people of Cross Midland and the wider district will carry the family and all of our colleagues and friends through this difficult time. And thank you for your time, Chairman.
Gary?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Thanks for your kind words. Chair, very briefly, I first met Geraldine when she was secretary to the late John Fee, MLA, and Geraldine did a lot of work. I mean, she was a councillor, yes, but she did a lot of work in our constituency office. Never judged people. Very professional. Always saying, you know, you could have went with anything. I remember a film of Follies, and he says, you know, the most trivial thing, you went to Geraldine, she went. But she seen that we went when it annoyed people, and she worked with people to solve problems. I was elected, as you know, back in 05 to the old council of Geraldine. Geraldine never jumped to conclusions. She was a thinker. She wasn't never jumped in. She thought about things, but I was thinking about it all again. But when she did reach the decision, she was rarely wrong. She got most things right. She kept me right on a few occasions as well. You know, Pete's already talked about it, but I never forget the time she recounted the story. She got the telephone call the night that young Paul Quinn was beaten to death. And I thought of it, even myself, you know, myself. Many person would have dodged that one, but I suppose it was one mother to another. Geraldine felt that she had to get involved in that campaign and everything that was around it, and the grief and everything else. But I suppose the saddest thing for me, when we started in this council, the new council, we carpooled and we came out, and we always, more times than not, Geraldine was lifted or would go from where she was minding her grandchildren out at Ardfeeling, and it's very sad when I think about it. She'll never never get a chance to see those grandchildren grow up in nature. Thank you.
Chair, thank you very much. Chair, I would like to extend my condolences personally and indeed on behalf of my party colleagues to Geraldine's family, particularly to her husband and children and grandchildren, and indeed to her party colleagues here in the chamber this evening. I always found Geraldine to be warm, courteous, and certainly one of my first memories of council was whenever I first joined the council was the encouragement that she offered to me, you know, as a young councillor fighting his feet in what could be a parapet at times, but she offered you that encouragement and encouraged you to stay strong, and it was great to have that whenever you were new to council. I was actually last speaking to her maybe a number of weeks ago during the local government election campaign, when I was out canvassing around Cross McLean, and I certainly made a point of always calling with Geraldine just to see how she was doing. And that day she wasn't in, but I'd left a note just to say that I called, and she made a point of calling me that evening, and I was on the phone near 45 minutes with her just talking about various things and just asking about family and how she was doing, how I was doing. And certainly you say I've nothing but fond memories of her, and I know that's the same with party colleagues that I've been speaking to over the weekend since the news broke, and it's certainly a great shock to everybody, but certainly certainly to her family and her party colleagues here, and I certainly hope that they find God's richest blessing in the days which lie ahead, and certainly my thoughts and prayers will be with them during this difficult time.
Chair, from the DUP group, and Harry, myself and Billy, and that includes Gareth Craig, who's not here at the moment, we were shocked, so we were whenever I heard it. Geraldine, I first met her in 2014, found her, as Pete has said, to be a lady of integrity, honesty, always willing to give you a word of support. I don't know about the DUP, but we always engage with everybody. But it's just, Geraldine was just one of those ladies who was an inspiration to, I think, anybody she came in touch with. I think Geraldine worked hard for the whole community. It didn't matter who or what you were. She did her best, and the thoughts and prayers of the Democratic Unionist councillors and ourselves are all with the family and the extended family circle at this difficult time for them. Thank you.
Michael.
Yes, Chair. And thanks very much, Chair, for your kind words at the start of the meeting. You mean a lot to our party and our elected representatives here, and I'm sure all our fellow councillors across the chamber. Chair, we're all in our own party, we're all devastated by the death of Geraldine. She was, in fact, the heart of the SDLP in our district and across the Nuri and Armagh constituency. She was our moral compass and our guide and our confidant and a dear friend and colleague. But most importantly, she was a devoted wife, mother and grandmother. And on behalf of the group, and I'm sure all our councillors, our thoughts and prayers are with Sean, Sandra, Karen and Niall and the wider family circle at this very difficult time. I have no doubt that beyond the political representations that's here across all the parties, from all backgrounds across our community, and when Geraldine does come back to her final resting place in South Armagh, that the people of our district will show her family the esteem in which she was held in this district. I have the pleasure of working in Justin McNulty's office, a role that Geraldine held for many years when she worked for Dominic Bradley. And the amount of people who have phoned our office and come in over the last 24 hours has been incredible. The amount of work that she did quietly that nobody ever knew about, and the lives that she changed, was something to behold. And the amount of heartbroken people who held her in such esteem that have knocked our door over the last 24 hours has meant a lot to us as a party, but I'm sure I want to convey that message to her family and everybody who knew her, that everybody, even people who were strangers to her, thought the world of her. And she's a big, big loss to us, and I don't think she'll ever be replaced. Thanks, Chair.
Sharon?
Thanks very much, Chair, and thank you for your lovely words about Geraldine at the start of the meeting. They really do mean a lot. But we've been here before, Mr. Chairman, in the Chamber. 11 years ago this week, I stood up with yourself and remembered, and our other colleague, Mickey Cole, his anniversary this week on Wednesday. Can't believe it's 11 years ago, but more I can't believe. We're here doing it again. Geraldine Donnelly, a lifetime friend of mine. Her husband worked for my family as a main foreman. And my life changed when I met and was introduced to Geraldine through that way. But it was at my wedding, and just great memories, you know. But back in the end of 2004, start of 2005, I met her in the butter crane. She had to be time for coffee. And when Pete said it really was, you know, you had to make the time for Geraldine always gave that time. She has the time for coffee, and I said I have. We met up. She said, want to run something past you. She said that she was asked to run as an SDLP, for the SDLP, as a councillor in South Armagh. And I said, well, Geraldine, I have something to run past you too. I said, because I have been asked to run for the SDLP in Crotlieve. And I said, I think the two of us can make the difference. I said, will we do it? And she says, we will. And we did. There was one vote between us in the count. A great memory. But there was one thing I always said to her. I cannot believe that you can canvass in high heels. And she says her mummy told her that she was born wearing them. And that's something that always stuck with me. I was with her when she became a granny in the art centre. She got a phone call when we were in a meeting. We went into the toilet and we cried, the two of us, with joy. And I seen the spark in Geraldine Donnelly's eyes that day that never, ever left. How proud she was, not only of her three children and their achievements, but how proud she was to be their granny. And that never changed. And her 10 grandchildren will live forever with the good qualities and foundations that Geraldine Donnelly and Sean set for family values, for life values, political values as they may be, for they wore them and wore them strong. As elected representative, Geraldine, when she looked for advice and you gave it, she said, that's exactly right. That's it. It's exactly right. Well, to Geraldine Donnelly tonight, I said, Geraldine, you got it exactly right. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon. Laura.
Good morning, Charlie. Just on behalf of the Sinn Féin group, I'd like to express our sincere sympathy to the family of Geraldine Donnelly and indeed to her colleagues across the way. We were all shocked and saddened at this untimely passing. And R.I.P. Geraldine.
Douglas. Thank you, Chair, and again, thank you too for allowing us the opportunity to pay respects. First of all, I would say that Geraldine really was a real lady. That stands out as a real lady. And, you know, looking around the chamber tonight, look at the many women are here, and would have to say that she was an inspiration, an example, and an advocate for women in politics. But I think she could simply be summed up by saying she was gentle in nature and very strong in commitment, and especially to her constituents in South Armagh, where she loved dearly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and yes, just to give my own condolences personally, and to extend those condolences also to Geraldine's, to her family, her grandkids, and to her SDLP colleagues here tonight. What you've been sharing with us all has been incredibly moving and touching and heartfelt. And when I saw the sad news on social media, I couldn't. The first thing that popped into mind was Geraldine's such a lady. And that's been echoed right around the chamber here tonight. You know, that is the first thing that I associated with her, that she was such a fantastic and class act, you know. I didn't have the unique privilege to get to know her very well over the 2 years or so that we spent together in council, but I will always remember her incredible warmth when you saw her. As soon as you saw her, a smile and, "Hello, Patrick, how are you?" And that was how she greeted everyone, whether she knew you well or not, and she was always ready for a chat. Absolutely an incredible lady, and she'll be a great loss to the community. But, I mean, I think you, particularly the representatives in that area and the SDLP, can take incredible pride in what she accomplished during her time in community service.
Charles.
Mr. Chair, I only had the pleasure of knowing Geraldine for a short number of years. It's quite evident, sure, from the get-go, Geraldine was a class act in every way. She was quiet, diligent, but no less effective. And the thing that struck me, Chair, when Geraldine stood down in 2016 was she had her priorities right, and her priorities at that time and stage in her life were her grandchildren, who she absolutely adored, and all the parents that have touched on it here, she mentioned them at every opportunity. So she would be greatly missed. And I'm just sorry that she's not going to get any more time to spend with the grandchildren that she obviously adored. So my condolences to her family and the SDLP family, Chairman. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Ian,
do you
want to? Yes, Chairman, on behalf of the staff of the council, again, I want to express my condolences and deepest sympathy to the family and to our SDLP colleagues. I suppose one thing we know about Geraldine, I've known Geraldine for a long time. I actually worked with our sisters, Rosaline and Christine, way back in the 1990s, so I've known Geraldine coming in and out of the office. But I suppose I've known Geraldine's qualities as a lady, if people say. But again, staff to me have been talking over the last couple of days when the news came out, but the number of times that Geraldine's asked, you know, wee boy wasn't well, or somebody wasn't well, or how he was, and how's your family keeping, and how are they doing, and looking at her. And her interest in staff, and I said, there's no member of staff has ever heard a cross word, an angry word, and when you do something for oohs and thanks for you, you know, and again, she'd be a big miss to the area. And again, as I said, she never really went away, you know, she never went away from the council, which is great. She'd meet you in the street, she was always asking about it. And I remember we had a good chat with her at the time of the elections there recently again, in terms of always got her interest in council, and she'll be sadly missed, but she'll be missed mostly by our family, and our sympathy and sorrow is really with them at this point in time. Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks very much for that, Liam. Go on now to the rest of the meeting. Item number 2, declarations of interest. Do we have any? No? Happy enough for that? On to item number 3, the action sheet. You just have it there in front of you, hopefully, or on your laptop or your iPad. Page 1, page 2, any matters arising from the action sheet? No? Thank you. On to item number 4, minutes of a council meeting held on the 3rd of June. I'll just go through them for accuracy. I have a page 3 here, 9, page 4, page 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Proposed by Councillor Magloran, second by Councillor Savage. No matters raised, I don't think. Item number 5, extract of minutes of Planning Committee held on the 29th of May.
Again, Chairman, just for explanation purposes, now the Planning Committee has got functions outside which have to come for Council for agreement, so we just need that only reference will be to items which are outside the planning decisions.
Proposed by Councillor McAteer. Second by Councillor McAteer. On to item number 6, minutes of ERT held on the 10th of June. Hopefully you have it there in front of you as well. Just go to it for accuracy. And my book is page 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. Hopping up there to an accurate record. There'll be a proposer and a seconder.
Councillor Corn.
Proposed by Councillor Dermot Corn, seconded by
Councillor Hannah.
Happy enough, progress. Item number 7, minutes of the SPNR held on the 13th of June. Just for interest, page 1, 2, I have it here now, number property, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Proposed by Robert, seconded by Gareth. Thank you very much for that. No matters arising. Item number 8, we're flying to it now, that's the way to do it. Minutes of the Active and Healthy Communities. Just go through it for accuracy. Page 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, page 14. Hopping up the accuracy. Proposer and a seconder. Proposed by Liz and seconded by Gary Stokes. Thanks very much, Rod. Kate, you looking in?
Yeah, just on an issue on this. It's on the financial assistance call, and it's indirect from that, because we were talking about the financial assistance call and the previous financial assistance call. We have all the groups that have been paid out, or actually received a letter of offer for Pride in Uri for the International Pride Festival. And I know we're all acutely aware that there are a number of rising issues on this festival. Well, there may or may not be issues, but we need clarity on how to move forward and release some of the funding that is for about the word blocked at the minute. So if we could get an update on, first of all, on the 15,000, and if it is linked to the second half payment of the 60,000, if we can get an update on what the groups need to do in order to get that funding released, because I think everybody here in the chamber would agree that we want to see this festival realised. I think it's a brilliant advertisement for this district. And if there is some issues on it, we would like to all work together collectively in order to get it moved forward. But I think, you know, time is running out now. So if we can get assurances from the directors of what specifically is holding things up and what do we need to do, or the groups need to do to release the money.
For your late son, is it the same issue?
No.
So a bit of report on Pete's there, first of all. Pete's concerns.
Chairman, if we're going to go into dealing with particular financial issues for committee, we really need to go into committee to deal with that, Chairman. So I need a proposal to go into committee if we want to deal with individual financial issues here.
I think to get the issues resolved, we can't do it unless we do that. So, yeah, we'd have to whatever it takes to get the answer.
You second on that?
Yeah.
Thanks very much, Drew.
I've been in agreement.
Are we all in agreement with that then? We are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Council agreed. The council officers visit the Neary Rainbow community within the next couple of days to try and resolve the issues over the financial assistance and the drawdown of funding. And also the committee agreed to refer the item, which was financial assistance service level agreements, back to the AHC committee in August to deal with.
Okay. Barry, you had your light on while we're...
Yeah, still on there.
Go ahead.
All right, Carly, just as briefly as I can, just in Active and Healthy Committee there, you'll see the issue of the play park in Newtown and a second public consultation was raised.
Yeah.
You can see from the minutes my constituents have asked me to fight for a second public consultation. Not really looking to get into differences of opinion tonight. Plan permission has been granted in this. It's probably the last chance to reopen the consultation process. And I hope other councillors will respect that I've got a duty to my voters to ask this question. So I propose that we offer the people in Newtown Hamilton a second public consultation and that this should happen ASAP.
Chairman, the issue is that the decision's been made on it in terms of here when the consultation is complete. So this is really rescinding the previous motion of the council to move ahead. The consultation progress position on the planning is a separate consultation which can be dealt with separately in terms of making representations of the planners regarding planning permission on that. But in terms of decision on it, my understanding is the decision's already been made in regard to the play park. So that has been drawn to a conclusion. So that's rescinding the previous motion of the council, which would need to be done under a rescinding motion.
Right, Barra. Okay. Move on. Item number 9, which is the Minister of the Neighbourhood Services Committee meeting. For accuracy, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Could I have a proposal in the seconder? Opposed. Mark, seconded by Gerry. Any matters arising out of it? No.
Yes, Chairman. Officers, the issue over it was raised at the meeting for us to get information regarding the working group, and I think Roland wants to pick that up, Chairman.
Thanks, Chair. Yes. Just on the item on the Sustainability and Climate Change Forum, officers were asked to clarify if elected members could increase the numbers on the membership of the forum if they wish to do so. Officers have checked that and they can, so it's up to elected members to decide.
Second.
Sure thing. It was just to ask, on page 2, it talked about second paragraph of page 2, I believe, or third one. Councils take consideration to giving promoting biodiversity. I just want by planting wildflowers. It's just that Constituent 9 actually mentioned that it's been done.
Page
2. Have you got it right?
But Chairman,
I'm just trying to
forget. We're dealing with item NS 016-2019.
Right. It's right, I didn't know.
Just give
me the item of the services you're dealing with.
No, we need
whatever
to deal with this item. Then.
Okay, it's right. Yes, I didn't really have it.
Yeah. So it's just in terms of Page.
Yeah, Chair, regarding the item at hand, and I know the way the Efficiencies Working Group worked last term, where we had nominated members on it, it was chaired the committees, and this year we've nominated three parties, but we left the forum open because of the importance of that forum for any member that wished to attend, and that was pretty good last year, because you'd have the 20 people going, and, you know, they weren't nominated forward as from the party, the only one person, that they weren't having to go through all the meetings, but they could if they wanted to. And I think the sustainability and with the whole climate change issue, that is extremely important, and I would have no issue with opening that forum or asking to open that forum to all councillors that wish to attend, but as long as all parties have representation on it, I don't think there's any need for us to double or treble or whatever, or start picking three or four more people from each party. If we leave it open to anybody who wants to attend in that, the way we've done with the Efficiencies Working Group, I think that'll work. And I think just, I suppose, on that, I hope that it was only teething problems coming into the summer with the first meeting of the Efficiencies Working Group, because since we changed there to the new model of nominating from a party, we only had the three of us there, which was a very, very long 3-hour meeting of thinking on a range of different issues, because we're all the same when we come to the efficiencies. At the end of the year, on those rates, we need to do our work prior to that. and it was myself and Harry and Una from Sinn Féin and the DUP that were there for an empty meeting. So if we open the doors on this working group, leave it for everyone to come and engage in it when they see fit as they look at the agenda. But I think as long as everybody's included in it, there's no point in talking about it.
Is that something we can agree here tonight? Have you had enough of that, the party?
Take it from one here, leave the committee as is, but then others
Sorry, I jumped in here on the agenda. As we have brought the issue up at the neighbourhood services meeting, Chair. We were more from three working groups into one, and it's probably the most important issue going forward and over the next couple of decades. And I was just trying to highlight the significance of the of what that and the remit of what that committee could become. So that was it, Chair. It wasn't about, I wasn't getting caught up or hung up on the numbers. I just, but I'm glad to hear what Councillor Bourne and Councillor Rowan have said here. Thank you.
Yes, sure thing. Just to ask about this, I spotted there on it, and it coincided by me being contacted by someone who highlighted that there was a project carried out on a dual carriageway, not in these shores, but across the water, and it was about promoting. It's all related to the fact that bees are decreasing in numbers and the danger that is. And when you looked at, and again, the person said, look, they did this on the dual carriageway, and the highlight fact that this could be done on the Warm Point and Uri dual carriageway. But, you know, there are obviously issues surrounding, you know, access, etc., and, you know, who maintains that, who it is. But I thought it was a wonderful idea, because the photographs you saw actually were hardening much better than the ragweeds and thistles growing on the Warm Point Road, as you would appreciate.
Oh, no, the in Uri.
I saw you on that this week, on the quad, were you? So anyhow, no, I just want to know whether, you know, this has been looked at, and could that be built into this, that we maybe would carry out some sort of a pilot scheme there, look into that particular project. If you look at any information on it, obviously forward it to you. But I just thought it was a very worthwhile issue, and as it would be very pleasing, and set a great example for the area as well, such a, as you wrote.
Chair, yeah, thank you. Council already has engaged on some of these schemes through the biodiversity officer. There's one in Muri, and I think there are others somewhere else that I need to check them out. But it's something that officers are aware of, and we are very interested to explore as well for our own facilities to see how we can become more sustainable and support biodiversity.
Yeah. Would you agree that like that one is a very visual one, and in fact would have a double-edged advantage in the fact that it would be a visual welcome to the area, and also double up as environmentally, obviously environmentally friendly work.
Don't disagree with the question, Chair. But
could you have a look at that one? Really?
Well, what are we going to say? Is that's the DFI roads?
Exactly that, and I recognise that. That's why I brought it up maybe now, that we could maybe do exploratory work with them.
Certainly, we can certainly contact DFI roads to see if they would be willing to engage in that type of project.
Okay, thank you.
Didn't know you were a tree hugger. Bonsai trees.
Thanks, Chair. On that subject, our DEA did propose that we, as part of community planning, we try and get DFI and the other agencies involved in tackling this particular issue. Well, there's an awful lot of, there's five or six different agencies cutting grass, and they all have different systems. In the last council term, I did submit reports from English county councils that showed that if what was being suggested here was done, it could actually save money on cutting the cost on cutting the sides of roads by basically looking after sight lines and allowing wildflowers to get to the point where they could actually flower before being cut. But I think the head of grass cutting at that stage booted it out without really considering it properly. But there's money to be saved by taking this approach.
Okay.
Yeah. All the consultation documents,
Chairman, yeah, Katrina's going to pick up this first one regarding
information on sharing for child protection, guidance for information sharing for child protection purposes.
Chairman, thank you. Members will have seen from the information in the papers that the Department of Health is consulting on draft guidance on information sharing for child protection purposes. The purpose of the guidance is set out at 2.3 of my report, and Council is a consultee to this consultation as Council is a body which makes referrals under safeguarding arrangements to social services, and the information that we share with social services is then also shared with other relevant bodies to enable social services to do what they need to do with the information. The draft of the consultation response is provided with papers for members, and in the interest of clarity, the response at question 13 is included at 3.3 of your paper, because the response itself is actually submitted online. So members are very happy to clarify anything or answer any questions. Otherwise, I would ask for Council to approve the consultation response to this particular consultation. Chairman, thank you.
Number 11, who's dealing with that? Councillor appointments, Warren Point Harbour Authority.
thanks, Chairman. Sorry, proposer is seconded for the report. Sorry, yeah.
Councillor Henry, proposed.
Seconded. Okay, Chairman, the next one is really correspondence regarding Warren Point Harbour Authority about Councillor Doran. And as I said, they're still being on nomination, and they're going to come back to us on that, Chairman. And item 12, Chairman, is really regarding, again, recruitment, but it's just for information for members. It's up to members themselves to nominate themselves onto the local government commissioning group. Conscious that the date's probably up, but it was just more to bring it to members' attention.
Thank you very much for having me. On now to items of notices of motion. Item number 13, and I think we're referring this one here to SPNR, but Patrick, if you want to introduce the motion, go ahead. Has been referred to SPNR.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I understand there was an amendment that I submitted to Sarah before the meeting, but it wasn't in time, and that will go to the next council meeting as well. I just want to clarify that part of it still to go to the August meeting, and then that this will go to the SPNR meeting, obviously, in August. So the motion reads as follows. This council strives for the highest standards of openness and transparency in local government, and therefore will undertake the following initiatives to achieve that goal. Video recording and uploading or live streaming of all council meetings, whichever is most cost effective. Audio of planning committee uploaded online along with other standing committee audio. Audio recordings made of all council-led working groups, party representatives forums, subcommittees forums and task and finish groups, all of which to be uploaded online in the same way as standing committees and full council. Motions to full council should only be delegated to committee where the motion proposer has been given 5 working days notice by the chair that this will happen. I do think there was quite a few maybe grammatical changes in the amendment that I submitted before the meeting as well, if possible, if those could be included in the motion that eventually makes its way to SPNR, that would be great, as I have been able to sort of add in grammatical and stylistic changes to motions a couple of days before the meeting normally. Thanks for that.
Is there a second or first? Okay, lovely. Item number 14 is a notice of motion on animal cruelty. That's Councillor Pete Byrne.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Do you want me to read the motion first before I get into
yeah,
it?
Yeah, please, if you don't mind.
This council condemns animal cruelty in all its forms, notes the effective framework for punishing offenders and imposing appropriate sentences which serve as a deterrent to others, recognises the work of the USPCA in challenging cruel behaviour towards animals, as well as supporting rehoming initiatives for those animals that have suffered abuse and neglect. Further notes were concerned that there is no central register for those convicted of animal cruelty offences, and resolves the right to the Permanent Secretary at the Department of Justice and the British and Irish governments to raise these concerns and propose a central all-island register for animal abusers. Chair, I suppose there's not many things in this chamber that we can really unite around. I think this is probably one of them. the love of animals. I think if you go right through the 41 councillors, I'm sure somebody has. If they don't have pets at home, their family members have pets. It doesn't matter whether you're a cat or a dog person. We all have had the animals in our homes in the past, and they probably treat us better than some family members. And especially, you know, in my house, they say my husband would argue that the cat especially is treated better than the husband. I started off as a dog person, and I've got a rescued golden retriever, Ted, who's, when he's standing up, is about 6'6", takes over the whole house. And I have a cat that I've been sleeping on the sofa last week because I let him out without putting sun cream on his ears, and that's the worst thing you can do with a cat in this temperature. And he had to get his ear lobbed off, so Oscar now is Oscar Van Gogh. I didn't hear that, but I sort of have an idea of what the reply would be. So you can imagine over the last few months, as an animal lover, like many of you, I've been deeply affected by the animal abuse stories that happen around the country, and some included, you know, in our own district. Recently we've seen a 12-week-year-old puppy beaten to death by a hammer. The perpetrator is currently awaiting sentence. Another case where a dog had to be put down because someone thought it would be a good idea to throw acid in its face, and the dog suffered that much pain the owners had no choice but to put it down. We've got stories recently in England where a man has been given a suspended sentence because he thought it would be great fun to feed foxes to his dogs in order to get them used to the taste of blood. And just last month, there was the high-profile story of the family pet that was stolen from a home in Coal Island, chained to a concrete block and thrown into the canal to drown. And it's only down to the actions of a passing walker who spotted the dog and the fantastic work of the council wardens in that district, in that area, who went beyond the call of duty, and the dog survived and was returned safely to its owner. We also, some of us, seen the very harrowing programme on RTE last month about how greyhound pups are being slaughtered simply because they're not fast enough. And yes, we've heard these stories many times before over the years, and people are probably saying, you know, why raise this now? Because the more we researched this as a party, the more we heard the repeated phrase of suspended sentence. Only 8% of animal abuse crimes end with someone in prison. More often than not, the people that harm these animals get away with little to no consequences for their actions. More frustrating is that even though they may be banned from keeping animals, there is nothing in place to stop them simply going to another part of the country, cross-border, picking up another animal and bringing it home. There is simply no system in place for rehoming charities or animal shelters to check the background of those who come in to get a pet, and they won't ever know if that person has a history of animal abuse or not. The police also don't have the resources to check on those who have been banned and from keeping animals and are sticking to that ban. That's why over the last number of weeks and months, we as a party have been working with the USPCA. We've listened to what they want to see delivered to prevent this, and the first step is a UK-Ireland cross-border animal abuse register. The register would see those convicted of animal abuse make a declaration which would be available to police and rehoming shelters, similar to that of the sex offenders register. Those that go on the register would also have to make a declaration to future employers. We need a stronger deterrent for those involved in cruelty to animals. And while I and my party support stronger punishments for those convicted, the first place to start is to make sure that these people can never own an animal again. And I think the register will go a long way to prevent that. We're all happy in this chamber and countrywide to condemn violence against animals, and I think it's past time we started doing something to prevent it happening. In 2015, there were moves to make this register a reality. It had cost party support in Stormont, but sadly the collapse of that institution meant the collapse of that legislation. This motion is intended to kickstart this debate and put pressure on both the UK and Irish governments to do more than pay lip service to our animals. So I would ask you all to support the motion tonight. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, so just to formally second, I suppose, as we know, with the recent acid attack on the dog in Uri, but also, Chair, it's been shown that, you know, those kind of psychopathic behaviour and abuse of other human beings and causing sadistic pain and whatever else, they often found, when they looked into their background, started off this course of action with animals. So I would like to ask councillors to support the motion, Chair. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. And as a very much a dog person, Pete, and a doggy daddy to a 4-year-old golden cocker spaniel I recently got from kennels, I wholeheartedly welcome this motion and very much thank you for bringing it here today, fully in support of it. I would like to propose an add-on amendment, if you would be willing to consider it.
and it falls broadly within the framework of the motion, but is actually an action that we can take as a council to send a strong message against animal cruelty. And that's a proposal that we ban circuses which have live animal acts from council land. That's all live animals, not just wild animals. This motion, that has been brought in the form of a motion to other councils across the north, including by SDLP members in Derry and Strabane Council. So I believe it would be within, you know, your own party's remit to support that. And I think it would be something locally that we could act on to send a strong message into the council's support for stopping animal cruelty. Many of these circuses force animals to, you know, jump through hoops, perform in unnatural ways, which cause them much trauma. And I've been reading up on the USPCA's website actually before bringing this amendment, and they are fully in support of banning that as well. So it would be that they would fully endorse it. So I hope you might consider accepting that as well.
Is that an amendment? Are you proposing amendments to the motion? Is that proposed to make a second to the amendment?
Before I take Harry in, do you want to comment there, Pete?
Yeah, I think the amendment of something, I suppose, notice of motion are things that are in terms of control, and I fully support the sentiments in terms of running the amendment. But I fear that the amendment itself sort of is off on a tangent from the motion, and I want to focus solely on the register. And it can cross all the register. And you've got a springboard, and absolutely, go through the committees, by a council that talks about this, I'm totally against animal use and service. I'm totally for that. But I think use this motion as a springboard when we deal with those issues.
Well, Pete's not accepted. Have you a seconder for your seconder?
Any other speaker from the amendment?
Are you speaking on the amendment, though? No? The young fellow.
Gavin.
Couldn't think of his name.
Mr. Bean.
No. All those in favour of the not you, Barry, you know, youngster. All those in favour of the amendment, please raise their hands. Sorry? You must be joking. There was, yeah. Absolutely. I think I raised it too. I don't like circus either.
No, it's a recorded vote. Once it's called for a recorded vote, you have to take a recorded vote, Chairman. Councillor Andrews absent. Councillor Bain? Patrick. Councillor Brown? Councillor Burgess? Councillor Byrne? Councillor Casey?
Stan.
Councillor Clark? Absent. Councillor Curran? Councillor Devlin? Absent. Councillor Dorn? Councillor Enright? Absent. Councillor Gallagher? Absent. Councillor Gibbons? Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hanna? Councillor Hart? Councillor Harvey?
Against.
Councillor Harty? Councillor Howell? Councillor Kimmins absent. Councillor Larkin? Councillor Lewis absent. Councillor McGuinness? Councillor Malone absent. Councillor Mason absent. Councillor McAteer? Councillor McAvoy? Councillor McKee absent. Councillor McGrew absent. Councillor O'Hare? Councillor Murray? Sorry, you missed one today. Sorry, Councillor McCabot. Beg your pardon, Karen. Councillor McCabot? Councillor O'Murray? Councillor Riley absent. Councillor O'Mahon? Councillor Savage? Councillor Stokes? Councillor Stravin? Councillor Stokes? Councillor Taylor? Absent. Councillor Tenley? Councillor Trainer? Councillor Walker? Absent.
Thank you.
So it's 4 for, 4 against, and 18 abstentions, so the chair has to cast and vote.
There was a motion in some of the other states in the council's term, so I'd vote against.
Can I ask if that is in that case scheduled for the next council meeting?
You need, Chairman, you need to put in those of motion as stated out. It has to be submitted in the number date, it has to be submitted in writing, it has to be signed. So, you know, if you submit the motion, we deal with it then. Yeah.
So again, just carry on.
There are numbers. Speak, yes. We'll have a proposal in a second.
Yes.
But there's other speakers. Harry, you're next.
Yep. Thank you, Chair. Just to say that us in the Democratic Unionist Party think it's a good motion, and thank Councillor Byrne for bringing it tonight. I think while it's Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland, we have no time for animal cruelty of any sort. And the fact that it's a cross-border thing could stop, you know, because there could be cruelty happening on puppy farms or anything on either side. So, yeah, happy to support. Thank you.
Terry.
Thank you, Chair and Chairman. We would fully support the motion. The motion is a common sense motion, and I know that the feelings of anyone that our animals is cruelly treated. I feel that the add-on was a disservice to this motion here tonight. Like, there was serious about doing that about animals. There should have been a proper motion in put before this council, but we fully support the motion as it is.
So we'll have a proposal second. No more stickers.
Oh, sorry, Robert.
Yeah, we too, and also the Unionist Party, would support the motion. It's a very important that animals are not being cruelly treated, and we would support that motion.
Thanks very much, Robert. Okay, all those in favour of the motion and proposal in a second, all those in favour?
Pete's got
closing. Oh, sorry, Pete.
Yeah.
Have you closing remarks?
Yeah, just very briefly, and to thank everybody for supporting the motion. Just a brief comment on the vote that had just, you know, taken place in the amendment. And I don't want, and I suppose there's certain motions to come in the council here that, you know, the politicking needs to be left to decide. And the main message coming out of this motion, and Councillor Hertie is 100% right, it was doing it to the service. The main message coming out of this motion was an all-island register to, you know, try and be proactive instead of reacting all the time to stop incidents like this happening. And if we water down messages, you know, when you're going out to the public to keep one simple message of the register and not to water down, we'd have amendments added on about, you know, hunting or whatever, or, you know, it doesn't mean that we're all agreeing with animals being in circuses. And to come out, I hope it could come out in the media after this, all parties can rally around this motion, and any negative media then against it to try and paint any party in this chamber as for or against animals used in circus would be a disservice to the motion. And that is frankly the reason for the many abstentions across the chamber, because I feel people believe in the sentiment of the amendment, but it's pinned on for political reasons, and for that it's an absolute shame. But I would like to thank everybody for supporting the motion.
Thanks very much. I'll have someone up. I think all those in favour of that motion, I have a proposal in a second. It's unanimous anyway, isn't it? Thank you very much for that. On to item number 15, welfare mitigation. Councillor Rowan. Una, sorry, Una.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks to SLP who have agreed to second the motion. If in agreement, Sinn Féin are happy to move this motion on behalf of all parties and united as a council group. So the motion being that Newry Morning Down District Council welcomes the range of reports recently published that highlights the serious risk of greater hardship for many within our community. If welfare mitigations do not continue beyond March 2020, these reports include welfare reform mitigations on a cliff edge coalition NI and NIAO welfare reforms in NI. Nuri of Mourne and Down District Council calls on all parties to support the need to continue welfare mitigations beyond March 2020 and further, and calls on the Department for Communities to take all steps necessary to ensure the mitigation scheme will continue to help the most vulnerable in our community. Sinn Féin are opposed to the Tory welfare cuts agenda, which is the primary driver of ongoing changes and hardships within the benefit system. In November 2015, we sought and secured an agreement with other political parties in the Stormont Assembly for a mitigation package to offset some of the worst aspects of the British government imposition of welfare cuts. In addition, a number of changes to the administration of universal credit were also secured. For example, they included fortnightly payments as opposed to monthly, split household payments, ability to have housing costs paid directly to landlords, and a reduction in the highest level of sanction. This £585 million package did not defeat the malignant Tory agenda of welfare cuts, but they have severely reduced the punitive impact of it here. The universal credit system in particular is not fit for purpose. Sinn Féin has repeatedly called for the rollout of universal credit systems to be halted. It's complicated and difficult to use, especially for the more vulnerable claimants in our society. It's important to remember the vicious manner in which the Tory government sought to impose welfare cuts here. They stripped tens of millions out of the block grant for public services and fines for not implementing so-called welfare reform. They made it abundantly clear that they would not deviate from this approach and threatened to unilaterally impose their cuts agenda. Despite this, Sinn Féin negotiated and secured a mitigation package of £585 million in order to protect the most vulnerable in society by topping up benefit payments. In recent weeks, both Department for Communities and Auditor General have demonstrated just how beneficial this package has been in terms of protecting the most vulnerable in this society. The Cliff Edge Coalition are to be commended not only for their detailed report, but also for their ongoing work they continue to do in highlighting the impact of the mitigations coming to an end and the new challenges many are facing, particularly in terms of universal credit. They have shown how almost 40,000 tenants here do not have to pay the bedroom tax as a result, how families have been protected from the benefit cap, and how many others have benefited from a range of other supplementary payments. And while the positive impact has been highlighted, the department, the auditor, academics and aid groups will also have all warned about the consequences of failing to continue with such bespoke protections here. They're absolutely clear that to do so would result in the same kind of increase in child poverty, holiday hunger, food bank use, rent arrears and evictions that is being witnessed in Britain. We are already seeing a rise of this in the north of Ireland, and I'm sure many of you deal with these constituents affected by these problems on a day and daily basis.
Very much.
Thank you.
Have we got a second or for the minute before we take it? Michael.
Chair, we in the SDLP will be supporting the motion, and I'm happy to second it. Our party's been to the forefront of the campaign to fight the tyranny of the Tory welfare reform agenda, and we've warned on so many occasions that this day would come. The March 2020 deadline for a resolution to welfare mitigations is fast approaching, and it's absolutely critical that we exhaust all avenues to protect the tens of thousands, and I mean tens of thousands of people, facing the hardship of the bedroom tax and the benefit cap. Almost 200 households here are already paying the bedroom tax, despite assurances from other parties that no one would be affected. Their rent, in some cases, has quadrupled. This has led to people trapped in poverty, having to choose between two fundamental human rights, the right to food and the right to shelter, two basics for survival. In GB, with the true horror of the welfare cuts and bedroom taxes visible for all to see, the following startling statistics from food bank charity the Trussell Trust give us a clear indication of the poverty Armageddon that the North faces if mitigations are not put in place by March 2020. 14 million people living in poverty, 4.5 million of them children. Over 1,200 food banks operating across the UK. Indeed,
the word food bank would prominently appear on any word cloud taken from any daily news feed any day. 1.6 million food supplies to people in crisis. That's up 19% year on year when the true outworking of the bedroom tax has hit home. Chair, it's essential that the Department of Communities prepares an alternative mechanism to secure mitigations as a method of last resort if it is not possible for an executive and assembly to legislate. The Department has confirmed that discretionary housing payments, for example, could be used in this scenario to protect those currently shielded from the bedroom tax, but it is not without significant administrative and financial challenge. An inclusive power-sharing executive is the best way to secure the extension of a mitigation package that will protect the most vulnerable. Parties should come together, not just in this chamber, but in the chamber in the Assembly, to come together in the talks process and ensure that the strategic political leadership is there to provide the Department for Communities to come up with solutions. The SDLP's focus is on seeing a local government in place that protects and empowers all of its citizens. However, a cliff edge of debt, despair and homelessness is looming in 9 months when mitigations run out. It is absolutely critical that the Department for Communities is prepared for all eventualities, and that includes a backstop potentially to protect the most vulnerable in society who are the most in need. Chair, I'm happy to second the motion.
Well, speakers. Yes, Chair. The Union Party will also support the motion. I'm not going to cover all that has already been said, but I agree with all. Even within my own area, you only have to see how the food banks within the churches are being used. It is totally unreal, and we would support the motion.
Speakers, all those in favour of the motion? Lovely, thank you. Unanimous. Item number 16, World War II veterans. Lynn?
Thank you, Chair. I'll read the motion. With the 75th anniversary of the end of the Second World War approaching, Newry Morning Down Council should recognise the contribution of those who fought in that war from Northern Ireland. It notes that every year the number of our surviving veterans is reducing and the time to provide public and appropriate recognition is running out. This council will therefore provide all surviving veterans of World War II, including those in the Merchant Navy who reside in our council area, with a silver poppy in remembrance to mark their service in the war against fascism and Nazism. These poppies should be presented to all surviving veterans at a special service of remembrance the week commencing the 4th of November 2019. It further encourages other councils throughout Northern Ireland to mark their surviving Second World War veterans service in a similar way. Chair, just on this, I'm bringing this motion to council as the motion says we are heading towards the 75th anniversary of the end of the Second World War. The Second World War was fought to stop the cruelty of fascism and Nazism across the world. If fascism had not been beaten, we would be living in a very different world today. We would be living in fear of a regime which would not tolerate any dissent. We are very lucky and should be thankful for those veterans who give their tomorrow for our today.
No.
It is, yeah.
Switch it later for a minute. Try now, then.
As the motion highlights, the veterans of World War II are getting fewer every year. All surviving veterans are well into their 90s, and we all owe a debt to the sacrifice of the men and women who fought for the freedom we all enjoy. There are only a few veterans still surviving in our council area. I have also included the Merchant Navy because from Europe, along the County Down coast, many risked their lives on merchant ships to bring the war supplies which helped win the war against fascism. This was a cruel war where many lost their lives, and I really hope we never have to face anything like this again. The men and women from Northern Ireland who fought and served during World War II came from all sections of the community, and
before it is too late, I believe, Murray Mourne and Down Council should acknowledge what these brave people did for us all by presenting all of the surviving veterans of World War II with a silver poppy at a cross community service in November later this year to recognising all surviving World War II veterans. I really hope this council will support this motion as a mark of respect for the generation who has given us freedoms we take for granted. As I said, Chair, there is only possibly a handful of survivors still, or veterans still surviving. We may or may not like wars in one thing or another, but if it wasn't for these particular people, we do not know where we would be today. We may be in a completely different scenario, so well. So I'm asking the support of all the members of the council here tonight. Thank you, Chair.
Harry, you are next.
I think it's a very thoughtful, respectful motion, and it's a nice idea. It'd be nice for the council to recognise these people, and I'm happy to second the motion tonight. Thank you.
Declan, you were next.
Robert's next.
No, but he was Declan before. Robert, I think. The lights are all over the place at the minute.
Right.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. First of all, I'm somewhat dubious of the suggestion for this council to go out on a limb at procuring silver poppy medals. The proposer hasn't said whether this has been done, you know, across these islands or not. But anyhow, it's the first I've heard of it. But I must say, I respect the sentiment of those wishing to identify with what is essentially a British symbol, which won't be endorsed by all Irish men or women. The poppy, on, you know, for better or worse, is associated with all conflicts that Britain was involved in, you know, since the First World War right on through. So I would say that perhaps if we do anything around this, then we should take a leaf from what the British Legion in Ireland did and design a shamrock poppy, which was worn by the Taoiseach recently, Leo Frelker. So I think I propose that we would take no action on this other than to refer it to the Equality and Good Relations Forum and the Council and let them come back or have a chat about it. And if there are any proposals come out of that, then we could have a look at it.
Are you seconding for that?
Do we need a seconder now? Can we let the people speak?
We need a seconder for them if it's going to stand. It's kind of important.
I can put it forward. Robert, you're next, anyway. They're all over this. You're next.
Patrick, maybe you've cut them in there. Robert, in. Right, go ahead, yeah.
Yes, Chair, we in the Ulster Unionist Party would support this motion. It's very important. We do remember these great men who put their neck on the line for each and every one of us. And there's no doubt about it. They can't have much longer left, because if you take 75 years and 20 on top of that, it makes them well in their 90s. And I would support this motion 100%.
Mikey, you're next.
Yeah, obviously respectful of the motion that Glenn and his party have put forward tonight, but a bit like what Declan has already said, and I'm not going to get into what we present or if we do present, but what I would say is I do think the Good Relations Forum is the ideal committee to send it to look at it. We need to know costings, numbers, what event we're going to have, and in relation to all that there, so I would agree with the sentiments of Declan and Peter.
Patrick?
Thanks, Chair. We will be supporting this motion. I thank Councillor Hannah for bringing it. Speaking as a former Reserve Forces and Cadet Champion on the Council, I think it's a worthy bit of outreach that we can do for veterans of the Great War, and thank the Councillor for bringing this here. I don't believe that it is in its nature divisive, and I think everyone here can certainly celebrate the what the soldiers did for us in World War II, so we'll be supporting us.
Thanks, Patrick. Well, I think we'll take Declan's proposal, which was seconded by Pete Burns, as an amendment, so we'll vote on the amendment.
Sir, I was just going to make a suggestion. I don't know if Glenn would be happy with it, that instead of getting into an argument or a debate over it, that it is referred to the Good Relations Forum, because we have used that forum in the previous council, around the 1916 events and other, and no reason we can't do it here and come to a respectful decision among the whole council.
Glenn?
I'm sure, and we'll be using it again in the centenary set of, you know, of centenaries, it'll also be.
I want, like, before we vote on it, if we have to.
Chair, I would be happy enough if it was sent to the Good Relations Forum, and I hope it's dealt with quickly if it does go down that road, because, as I say, the youngest person that could be living this day that served in the Second War is 93, 94 years of age. Fair enough, Declan made the point maybe of a shamrock or something like that. I would have no problem going down the road of that there if those veterans had a choice of either or other. I have no problem with that whatsoever. I'm not looking to be divisive over this. All those who fought in that war, they actually fought for all of us, so that they did not do it for any selfish reason other than to give us the freedoms that we all enjoy today. So if everyone was happy enough, I'll let it go to that cell.
Good man. Everybody's happy with that. Are we all happy with that? Yeah. Transfers, yeah? That's fine. Thanks very much for that. Item number 17, we're going to, I think, refer this to the relevant committee as well, because there was a similar motion from Councillor Clark a number of months ago. So, Mark, if you don't mind introducing your motion anyway, please.
Yes, no bother. Chair, this is the motion in a wee bit of detail. That this council will introduce a pilot scheme similar to the NI Water-led initiative, Revolution, that will actively promote the personal use of reusable water bottles and facilitate water refill stations. Initially, in one point in Ostrava, then throughout the district, as part of its ongoing commitment to the environment. So that is the motion. And just a wee bit of detail, sir, if you're okay. I know this is dragging on a bit, so I don't want to hold anybody back. I want to thank Councillor, I want to thank Bala for seconding the motion. I believe that Newry Moore and Down District Council should join the growing community of individuals, voluntary groups and organisations who are leading the way regarding cutting back on single-use plastics. We as a council and councillors need to lead by example and start a refill station initiative in our local areas as soon as possible. Refill schemes are hugely popular and successful when initiated. They empower local communities to take action against single-use plastics by setting up businesses for refill stations. They aim to encourage people to carry reusable water bottles and provide access to refill stations in the local areas. There's a few statistics here are quite shocking. Figures from the Marine Letter Report 2017 and conducted by Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful reveal that 82% of litter collected on our beaches was plastic. Plastic is one of the few materials which never degrades completely in the natural environment. Instead, it breaks down into similar pieces over a very long period of time. In the UK, 7.7 billion plastic water bottles are used each year. So just repeat that. 7.7 billion, not million, plastic water bottles are used each year, with the average person using 150 plastic water bottles every year. That's more than three a week. Many are discarded and end up polluting our rivers and seas. Staggeringly, if just 1 in 10 refilled just once a week, we would save in around 340 million plastic bottles a year. Single-use plastic bottles are also expensive to produce, use up valuable natural resources, and make transport and create mountains of waste once they have been discarded. So far, recycling doesn't appear to be adequately dealing with the problem, and it's estimated that only around half of the...
Mark, I know you won't mind, but you can elaborate in greater detail when it gets to...
I've got 30 seconds, Chair, with me. 38.5 million plastic bottles are used in the UK every day and are recycled, and around 16 million end up in the landfill, being burnt or entered into the environment or our waterways. So I am asking for support regarding this refill station motion tonight. We owe it to our children to show leadership regarding the curse of single-use plastic, and the question is for this council, have we got the bottle to do just that?
Thanks, Mark. And you have seconded Barra as a seconder, so that's it. It's been referred to Neighbourhood Services.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks very much, councillors. That's it. Over and done.
Yeah.
Over and out.
Thank you.
Good chairman. He's just, you know, not me. Oh, you're the top man in the NSA, are you?
He's